Glad to be here for the third session of this set of discussions, reflections on the Baha'i texts within the apostolic age or the heroic age of the Baha'i faith. The discussions that we had last time centered on aspects of the writings of the Bab. I promised that in this session I would talk about interpretive logic in the writings of the Bab. Namely, I mentioned that the writings of the Bab can be divided into three stages. In the first stage, his writings emphasize interpretation of the previous texts, primarily the Quranic verses or surahs. In the second stage, it emphasized elaboration of metaphysics, of philosophical principles of reality. And in the third stage, it emphasized the social teachings of the Bab, namely his legislative writings, bringing new religion with new laws, abrogating Islam, and so on. All the writings of the Bab during the Maku and Chehrir, namely more than 3 years that he was imprisoned in these mountains of Azerbaijan, belong to the third stage, the legislative stage. But prior to that, the time that he was in Isfahan and late Shiraz period belonged to the second stage, and everything before that, for more than a year and a half, about 18 months, belonged to the first stage. So in order to understand aspects, a glimpse of the writings of the Bab, it is good to know something about his interpretive works. He has lots of these interpretations. But what I want to emphasize today is the logic of interpretation in his writings. Once we understand the logic of interpretation, the way he interprets a text, then it becomes much easier to follow varieties of interpretations that he engages in. And if we had time, I'll say some words about the most important work of interpretation that he has, namely commentary on the Surah of Joseph. In order to understand the logic of his interpretation, which is completely a unique novel logic of interpretation, I'm going to read for you a few statements by him discussing his logic of interpretation. So I hope that you pay attention to these. I'll read two statements. The first statement is from his commentary on the Surah of Kawthar. That is the work of the Bab that Wahid of Darab, Sayyid Yahya Darabi, who was sent actually by the king to investigate the cause of the Bab, a very prominent cleric with connections to the Qajar court. He asked the Bab to write such a work. in this particular text, the Bab says, "Shouldest thou abide in the land of divinity, Lahut, and recite this blessed surah," namely the Surah of Kawthar that he's interpreting, "in the midst of the ocean of absolute unity, beyond the sea of dominion, Jabarut." So far what he has said is that if you read this Surah of Kawthar in the highest, from the highest spiritual perspective, when you are a citizen of the land of Lahut, you know, in the land of divinity, and from that point of view, look at this surah, read it in terms of the highest spiritual mystical understanding, level of understanding. So if you read it in that way, thou must know of a certainty that verily all the letters of this surah are but one single letter, and that all the differences of its words and meanings turn unto the one single point. For verily, this is the station of the heart and the sanctuary of unity. God has created its elements out of the one and only one and only crystal water of Kausar. They are all fire, all air, all water, all dust, and all are the majestic identity, the everlasting bestowal, and the effulgent Kausar. I read one other statement of the Bab, discussing his logic of interpretation, and then I try to explain a little bit. This is in his commentary on the Surah of Kaw, Surah of Baqarah, which is more or less the first Surah of the Quran after the Fatiha, after the introduction, and it is the longest Surah of the Quran. The Bab started to write this interpretation before his declaration, almost at the same time that Sayyid Kazim died. And he completed that while he was in Mecca and Medina. Within this text, he also gives his logic of interpretation. This is what he says in discussing one of the verses. He says, elevate the alphabetical letters of that divine verse onto this sublime station of the manifestation of their heart. Verily, that ascent is the spirit of the elixir of true knowledge, so that the servant may advance all that is motionless onto the lofty station of vibrant motion, and make manifest the causes of his existence within the stage of the effect, and reveal the fruit of the final cause in the rank and station of the receptive phenomena. That is the true meaning, and then he gives an example of that. I'm emphasizing this point because I think understanding this logic gives us understanding of the essence of his next stage writings, philosophical, metaphysical writings, also the essence of his final stage of writing, legislative writing. It also gives us the essence of the Baha'i faith. All the writings of Baha'u'llah, which also happen to be written in three different stages, which in the future I'll deal with that, actually are expressions of that same underlying principle. And if the Baha'i faith is really that one principle, it is so important that we pay attention and try to understand it. In this sense, the works of interpretation by the Bab has very much a resemblance to the hidden words of Baha'u'llah. You might get surprised that why I'm comparing hidden words of Baha'u'llah to the interpretive works of the Bab. The reason is this. Baha'u'llah defines the hidden words from the very beginning as the essence of all the sacred books of the past. You remember that. He says, I took the essence of all that has been revealed unto all the prophets of the past. In other words, hidden words is description in an interpretive way of the essential truth, the essence of all sacred books of the past. He's engaged in an act of interpretation, but it's not an ordinary interpretation. It's an interpretation that he wants to tell us what is the essence ultimate truth of Quran, of Gospel, of Torah, of Avesta, of all the sacred books of the past. It is in this sense that the hidden words become so particularly important, which in one of these sessions I'll emphasize and focus on the hidden words. But then, paying attention to both of these issues, how the Bab interprets, for instance, different chapters of the Quran, how he sees Quran, what is the meaning of the Quran in terms of the Bab, what is the logic of interpretation of the Bab. Take that with the idea of the hidden words, the way Baha'u'llah is identifying the essence of not only the Quran, all the sacred books of the past, all the religions. For him, religions, all religions, had one and the same ultimate meaning, and that is crystallized in the message of the hidden words. We Baha'is have a particular principle which is very, very important for the Baha'i faith, and the principle is that religion must be a cause of love and unity. This is central. It's so central that if the Baha'i faith itself is going to be understood or interpreted in ways that is going to be a cause of violence and hatred and disunity and so on, from the point of view of Baha'u'llah, from the point of view of Abdu'l-Bahá, it is better not to be a Baha'i. It is better not to have a religion. Non-religion, non-religiosity, according to Baha'i faith, is far, far, far preferable than a religiosity which becomes an occasion for hatred and so on. Now, this is not just an abstract slogan. In order to see how this operates, you have to look at the interpretive works of the Bab. And you have to look at the hidden words. Because that's the way Baha'u'llah and the Bab are understanding the truth of all religions. Religions for them are these things. And if you pay attention to that, then you see that why for the Baha'i faith this becomes so important principle, that religion must be because of love and unity. Because when you look at the logic of the Bab, when you look at the hidden words, that whole truth of all religions become the principle of love and unity. It's not something accidental. So understanding these interpretive works a little bit, not the details of that, but the basic logic and essence of that, just like the hidden words of Baha'u'llah, gives us a sense of how a Baha'i understands religion in general, including Baha'i faith. Is the key for understanding what is essential and what is token secondary expressions of faith. In the history of religion, we have had this tragedy. I mentioned this a little bit in the first discussion that I had, talking about these antinomies, that the essential is forgotten and it is replaced by the secondary symbolic token expressions of religion. We must be careful to be an agent for reversal of this trend. Always to be conscious of the truth of religion and the essential principle of it. So, I don't talk about hidden words right now, but you see the connection between the hidden words and now the works of interpretation by the Bab. Let's come at the first statement of the Bab that I shared with you. He wants to interpret the Surah of Kawthar. Surah of Kawthar is a very short surah in the Quran. It has just two lines. Basically, enemies of Muhammad were ridiculing Muhammad, saying that he has no posterity. Because the culture was totally patriarchal. To have a daughter didn't count. Prophet Muhammad had a daughter, Fatima. He didn't have a surviving son. He had a son but died when he was young. And so they were ridiculing him that he has no posterity and he dies away without any trace and so on. So they call him Abtar. without posterity. So then Surah of Kawthar is given to Prophet Muhammad, and it says that God is speaking, that, O Muhammad, we give you Kawthar. Kawthar means fountain of plenitude. Therefore, pray to God and make a sacrifice for God. Verily, indeed, your enemies are without posterity. That's Surah of Kawthar. It's a very short surah. The Bab is asked to interpret this surah, and his interpretation, the commentary on the Surah of Kawthar, is a long work. If you translate it in English, I'll say it would be 400 pages. Very complicated at points. Lots of that are discussion of varieties of traditions, Islamic traditions, about the Qa'im, 12 Imam, and so on, but also it has very complicated metaphysical, spiritual discussions. What the Bab does for interpreting this text is that he goes through different layers and styles of interpretation. But in his discussion, there is one level of interpretation which is the supreme interpretation, which is the highest level of interpretation. In that supreme, the highest level of interpretation of the surah, he says that you have to see this surah all as one letter. Namely, you don't see the differences of sentences and words and alphabetical letters. Once you look at it all as one thing, then you have understood the ultimate meaning of that, the highest level of meaning of that. This is normally the exact opposite of what we understand of meaning. Like somebody gives us a book and says, look at it as a whole, as a unity without paying attention to different sentences, chapters, words, letters, disregard all of them, ignore all of them, just look at it as one unity. And says that you don't need to read it or become familiar with differences of different topics discussed in different chapters and so on. You understand it as this unity. We would think that this person is saying something insane. But that's, in a different way, what the Bab is saying. So, it's a new logic of interpretation, very different from the normal understandings that we have of concept of meaning. But then, in addition to this, the Bab descends at varieties of levels of interpretation, and the lowest level of differentiation becomes when he interprets the meaning of each alphabetical letter of this surah. So first letter of alphabetical letter of the surah is A. The second one is N. The third one is again A, Enna. And he interprets what A means, what N means, what A means, and continues to the end. This is the opposite of the first approach. Namely, when you look at the whole thing as one absolute unity. Now you look at it as absolute differentiation. Not only words are different, but alphabetical letters all also have their own distinct meanings. And each one of them are being interpreted. And in between are phrases and words and sentences and so on that he discusses them. But for him, the highest level of interpretation is when you look at this as unity. Why he is saying that and what does he mean by that? This actually was clear in that same statement, but it becomes more clear in different statements. The other statement that I share with you and another one that I share with you shortly. What the Bab is saying is that all these symbols, because the text is a set of symbols, referring to particular words, to particular objects, to particular concepts, and so on. When the Bab wants to interpret something, he wants to show, to unveil the truth of that thing. So when a particular object or event or person is mentioned, Bob wants to interpret that, but his interpretation is interested in one and only one thing, namely, what is the truth, ultimate truth of that thing? He wants to unveil the truth of all things. Act of interpretation becomes actually a sort of metaphysical speculation and reflection in which you want to understand the truth of all things. But then for the Bab, the truth of all things is one particular thing. And that particular thing, which is the truth of everything, is the moment of divine revelation. Is the attributes of God which is present in the reality of everything. So whatever you say, all different things, objects, words, symbols, and so on, although they are different from each other, but their truth for the Bab is not defined by their differentiation. The truth of everything is defined by what they have in common. And what they have in common is the image of God present within them. And he calls this cessation the cessation of the heart. In Hidden Words or other writings of Baha'u'llah also he says that heart is the throne of God. God resides there. And for that reason, he says that God is homeless right now. You have given your the home of God to others and says, cleanse that so that I can come back to that. That's one of the most beautiful, my favorite statement in Hidden Words. When the Baha'u'llah says that I have given everything in heaven and earth to people. People can have that, can have possession of that, can have sovereignty on that, everything except the human heart. So I have singled that for myself. That's a very, very important principle, and it is in the context of the political philosophy that Baha'u'llah is discussing. And separation of church and state is one of the fundamental principles that he's discussing, derived and centered on this particular concept, which is foundational in all writings of Baha'u'llah, which I'll discuss these things later. But heart is something which is singled out for God. It's the home of God. This heart, from the Baha'i point of view, from the writing point of view of the writings of the Bab, is where the image of God is reflected. So, from the point of view of the Bab, everything is a mirror. And in these mirrors, there is an image which is reflected. That image which is reflected in different forms, in everything, is divine attributes, is image of God. Not the God itself, but reflection of God. And for the Bab, this is the truth of everything. The truth of everything is nothing but the heart of things, the divine revelation within them. And the act of interpretation for the Bab has only one logic, to show in the finite, in different things, the infinite, the truth of the finite, which is God, which is the reflection of God, which is the divinity of God present within everything. That is the meaning and logic of interpretation in the writings of the Bab. Now come back, for instance, to the Quran, Surah of Kawthar, or Quran and Torah and Gospel. From the point of view of the Bab, if you want truly to understand these sacred texts, you should actually look at all of them as the same. Namely, the Quran, not only Quran is one, Quran is the same as Gospel, and that is the same as Torah. They are all one and the same. When you look at them as their truth, that truth is nothing but that pure revelation of God, in which you see nothing but God. That image of God, that revelation of God, that reflection of God, which now takes differentiated form in this sentence, in this chapter, in this book, in this history, in the form of this object, in the form of that object, and so on. But its source, its sovereign source, which happens to be also its truth, it happens to be the cause and the end of it. That is one and the same thing, and that is the supreme revelation of God. It is because of this that this fountain of Kawthar becomes all fire, all water, at the same time all dust, at the same time all air. The contradictions go away, diversities goes away. They all become one and the same thing. And that same thing is the effulgence of revelation of God. This is not an exercise in interpretive act. All the writings of the Bab are connected to each other. I'm not making any exaggeration in this statement. Writings of the Bab are perceived, even by many people who have worked on the writings of the Bab, as being to a large extent fragmentary and chaotic. Different topics, different things, unrelated. I know of no author whose works are so completely interconnected and coherent. Everything is so completely related to each other. Every concept, when you follow that in the context of the writings of the Bab, is reflecting and expressing the same underlying truth. It's amazing the degree of coherence, interrelatedness in the writings of the Bab. Everything. So his legislative writings, his metaphysical writings, his interpretive writings, all are saying the same thing. And that same thing is ultimately this principle, that you have to look at everything, nature, culture, people, history, as one thing, and that is God. By the way, this becomes the message of the hidden words as well. And therefore, you have to treat everyone and everything as something which is sacred, as something which is beautiful, something which has right, on the basis of love. You should see the unity, you should see sacredness. Everything becomes endowed with its essential sanctity. And this, of course, becomes the fundamental theological principle for all the future writings of Baha'u'llah. Principles of peace, principles of oneness of humanity, emphasis on the concept of human rights, global approach to reality, all these things become reflections of this particular logic in the writings of the Bab. And this is what is everywhere in the writings of the Bab. When you see some of the laws of the Bab that appear to be contradictory and so on, those become token expressions which has to be understood in the context of the time and so on. But the overall message of the writings of the Bab everywhere, in every writing and so on, is this absolute overflowing love for everything and everyone. This mystical moment, which becomes applied to all reality, does not remain at an abstract level. I read for you look at how he tells us to interpret anything. What I read for you now, I read it again. This time, pay attention a little bit more. He says, elevate the alphabetical letters of that divine verse onto the sublime station of the manifestation of their heart. Take this object, represented by these words and so on, elevate it, ascend it, to the station of the manifestation of its heart. The object to be understood as in terms of the station of its heart. Bring it to that station, in that interpretation. Verily, that ascent is the spirit of the elixir of true knowledge. Elixir becomes so important because that's what transforms everything. So the phenomenal reality becomes transformed and it becomes gold. It becomes infinite. In the finite, you see the truth of that, which is God, which is the unity of everything. In everything, you see everybody and everything. Because all are one and the same, and that's the station of the heart. So that if you engage in this act of interpretation, which is this act of ascent, so that the servant may advance all that is motionless onto the lofty station of vibrant motion, the phenomenal realm which appears to be motionless and dead and boring, by this act of interpretation, like an elixir, is transformed into a station of vibrant motion. Into a finite, you see, is beautiful, creative infinity. And make manifest the causes of his existence, not its, his existence, within the stage of the effect. What the Bab is saying is that the act of interpretation, when you are acting, interpreting the text, not only you are transforming through this elixir the text, You are transforming yourself. The person who is engaged in the interpretation also becomes transformed, and from the phenomenal realm connects to the truth of one's own self, which is one's own divinity. By connecting to the truth of things through this act of interpretation, we also become transformed. And our phenomenal self become related to our, as Kant would say, noumenal self. So it is, that's why he says it's elixir. Not only you change the reality, you change yourself as well. It's a sort of reading that not only you transform the meanings of the object of a study, but also it transforms you. I read one more statement of the Bab. This is one of my favorite statements of the Bab. And this is when he's talking about this surah, this concept of Kausar, this fountain of plentitude. By the way, one of the elementary meanings that the Bab explains for this is that this fountain of plentitude that is given to Muhammad is Fatima and the children of the Fatima, which become the Imams. And so all these Imams and the Bab himself, because he is from that same line, become realization of that concept. But these are at the secondary, tertiary, you know, levels of interpretation. The highest level of interpretation goes beyond any differentiation, it's in the realm of mystic unity in which you see nothing but image of God. And that's the truth of all the sacred texts. That's the real truth of the Quran. That's the real truth of Kausar Surah, which is the same as the other Surah and the like. He starts to, in his interpretation, the Bab, you know that paradise, according to Quran, consists of four rivers. So this Bab defines this fountain of plentitude, Kausar, as actually the ultimate source of the four rivers in paradise. One is the river of pure water. One is the river of milk. One is the river of pure honey. And one is the river of wine. The Bab always takes it as red wine. So the four rivers in the paradise, which has the source of that is in Torah. That was the way the Holy Land, the Promised Land was understood, that there are rivers of honey and milk and so on going on. And this is repeated in the Quran. So the Bab takes this concept of Kausar, which for him means the truth of divine revelation, the very, very pure act of divine revelation, in which you see nothing but God, without any differentiation, any determination, and so on. Now that divine fountain, Kausar, becomes the source of these four rivers of paradise. And then he discusses what are these rivers of paradise, which if you have time, I'll share with you a little bit about that. But he begins with discussing this, the first one, pure water, which is the highest level. And now see how he describes this water, this river of water, the first immediate expression of that Kausar. He says, "Were thou to say that the bed of this river is of water, and the ark moving upon it is made out of water, and the mariner and those who enter the ark are formed out of its water, and the waves and all that lies within it, within its depths, are from the substance of its water, thou verily would have uttered the truth. For in truth, that is a crystal water, whose inner essence refers unto naught but its outer manifestation, nor its outer manifestation reveals aught but its inner essence. Those who traverse its path and quaff thereof, behold in it naught but the utter, pure revelation of divine outpouring, which only refers unto the sovereign source of revelation, who has shed upon them and through them the splendors of his revelation. It's a river that by its very essence drowns all the names and attributes. See how beautiful it is? It's a strange river. It's a river that the fishes and I don't know, all the animals who are living in it and so on are all made out of water. The ark, which is moving upon this water, is made out of water. All those people, whether it is mariner, or he talks about the crimson ark in his Surah of Joseph, commentary of the Surah of Joseph, and that the people of Baha are residing on that crimson ark. You remember that statement? These are discussion of those same reality. These people are made out of water. And the bed of this river also is made not of dust and the sand and so on. It's made out of water. Everything is made out of water. The reason is that this water is a pure, utter revelation of God. And those who swim and travel through this water, they drown in it. But drowning means that the realm of the names and attributes are going to be eliminated. They become absolute one and so on. The highest realm of the highest bounty is to get drowned in this water. But drowning means, by its very essence, drowning all the names and attributes. No differentiation remains. Everything reaches a point in which nothing is seen but God. This is very important. And this is the way he interprets everything. And therefore his interpretive act and his interpretive writings really ultimately are a social political message. A message not about an abstract esoteric idea that, you know, past theological texts and so on to be seen this way or that way and so on. But a lesson about what is the ultimate truth of religion, what is the ultimate truth of all reality, and what is the meaning of religion. And once you pay attention to that, then you become connected to his conception of religion and religious truth and and so on. Now I give you two examples for let me check the time first. I didn't bring my watch, so I borrowed it from Professor Hariri. It's 8:20 right now, right? Okay. Let me give you just one example, but an indirect example, and then give example in terms of his actual interpretations. One of the very important works of the Bab is commentary on the letter H, Tafsir Ha. And actually has three letters which deal with the same thing. One of them is called the commentary on the letter Ha, namely letter H. The second is commentary on the mystery of the letter H. And the third one is a tablet that has many different names, commentary on the occultation prayer, which Baha'u'llah quotes from that close to the end of the Book of Certitude, and Baha'u'llah calls it commentary on letter H, Tafsir Ha, he says. So three major works of the Bab, he calls them in different forms, commentary on the letter H. Now why he does that? What the reason that he comes and interprets the letter H. He explains that in the beginning of the first one, the major one. One of the Babis writes a letter to the Bab and asks him a question. In the existing literature, this believer is identified as Sayyid Yahya Darabi, Wahid. That is 100% categorically incorrect. Wahid is not the person. I don't have the time to explain that, but it's not correct. In any case, this person writes a letter to the Bab, and the Bab, in the beginning of the tablet, quotes the entire letter of the questioner. And it begins with Hawal Aziz. He is the Almighty, something like that. And then he asks the Bab to unveil the truth for him, including truth of his claim and station. Then the Bab, this was the question. The Bab writes this particular work. Now, there was nothing about letter H or anything like that. It wanted to know about truth. Why the Bab makes this an interpretation of the letter H? He explains. He says that, and this is persistent and consistent in so many of his writings. When people ask the Bab about something, most of the times he actually criticizes them for making such a question. And the reason is that the Bab tells them that the answer is within you. The answer is you. And therefore, why do you ask someone other than yourself? In order to prove to him that truth is the truth and reality of the questioner, is within the questioner. It's not something external to look and seek outside. In order to explain that, he says that now I show you that the answer to your question is present within your own question. Your very question contains the truth, the answer to your question. And then in order to prove that, he says, not only that, even the first letter of your question contains the entire answer to your question. What is the first letter of his question? It was H. Hawal Aziz. He, Hawal means he, which happens to be H as well in English. Hawal Aziz, he is the mighty, namely God. Praising God. And so the first letter of the question is letter Ha, letter H. So the Bab, in order to tell this person that you have to return to your own truth and find and discover the spiritual truth within yourself, in order to prove this in a very tangible fashion for him, he discusses the very first letter of his question and shows that that very first letter contains all the spiritual truth. So he discusses the spiritual truth in general as well as the truth of his own station, because letter H becomes equal to Bab. You know, in Hebrew, in Arabic, and in Latin, alphabetical letters have a numerical value. H is equal to 5 in Arabic. Numerical order, and Bab is equal to 5. B is 2, A is 1, Bab is 2, 1, 2, which becomes 5. So, by discussing the letter H, he simultaneously gives the metaphysical discussion of the truth of everything, which is more or less what I shared with you today in the form of the act of interpretation, as well as discussing his own truth. Now I want to give you a little bit more concrete example. His first major work is commentary on the Surah of Kahf. I mentioned that. Now Surah of Kahf, if you look at it in the Quran, is the longest Surah of the Quran. It talks about everything. All history as it is understood in Islam and so on is covered in the Surah of Kahf. About the Surah of Adam and Eve, creation, all different prophets, Abraham, Moses, Jesus, Muhammad, events at the time of Muhammad, The laws of, for instance, Judaism, when the word cow is mentioned, is about the ritual laws about eating and sacrifice and so on in Judaism. That's why it's called Surah of Cow. It's about everything. The entire history is being discussed in the Surah of Cow. It's so interesting. When the Bab interprets this long surah, everything that is discussed there, he interprets them in the same fashion. They all become, the meaning of all of them become, on the one hand, different sacred figures of Islam, particularly Hussein. So they become Muhammad and the Imams with the predominance of Hussein. So everything that is discussed become them. Everything. Objects, people. So for instance, the surah says that Moses takes his staff and strikes the rock and 12 rivers flow from that. He says that Moses is Muhammad and his staff is Ali and the rock is Fatima, and through the union of this staff and rock, Imams are created. See, it was talking about objects, but all of them became again Muhammad and the Imams, the sacred figures of Islam. At that time, the sacred figures are represented in that culture by these figures. Everybody and everything and every object discussed in the Surah of Kaw, they all have one and the same meaning. But the meaning that he emphasizes more is not Muhammad and the Imams and Fatima and so on, but the truth of them, which he understands them as the seven stages of divine creative action, which is discussed in the second stage of his writings. I may discuss that in the next sessions or not, I don't know. But it becomes not particular persons, but these persons become expressions and symbols of their truth, which is the very divine creative action, the divine reflection and revelation. So it is a very strange thing when he's interpreting the Surah of Kaw. All these diverse, historically different things are interpreted as one and the same thing, which was their truth. Now coming to the commentary on the Surah of Joseph. The story of Joseph is very different because the whole story is about the life of one person, Joseph. The way the Bab, however, interprets this becomes the opposite. Joseph becomes symbol of the entire history. Different stages of the life of Joseph become symbol of different stages in human history. At first, Joseph is Joseph. Then Joseph becomes Imam Hussein. And finally, Joseph becomes the Bab himself. You see the contrast between this and the previous act of interpretation. And both are one and the same. Both together, they are not opposed to each other. That would be a very superficial understanding that they are opposite of each other. What is being expressed, it is a fundamental principle of unity of all beings, unity of all religions, oneness of all religions, of sacred principles, and the idea of unity in diversity of all of them. Just a few words about commentary on the Surah of Joseph. I know that you are becoming tired, but I promise to say a few words about the commentary on the Surah of Joseph, and I won't discuss interpretation in the writings of the Bab anymore. So a few words would be useful. The story of Joseph is a beautiful story, what unites Judaism and Islam and Christianity together. That's one of the reasons he chose to emphasize this story. But the story, as it is mentioned in the Quran, begins with a dream in the very childhood of Joseph. Joseph sees that in his dream that the sun and the moon and 11 stars bow down in adoration before him. And he goes and tells this to the father. The father becomes afraid and says, don't share this with your brothers. Don't tell anybody. And he was a special, and he was loved in a particular fashion, and he was a privileged one. All the brothers become jealous ultimately, and they go and they say that we went to run and engage in a race and so on, but they actually take Joseph and throw him in a very dark well. Come back and say that the wolf has eaten him and killed him and so on. Then there is a caravan coming, and that caravan wants water and sends a delve, and Joseph appears, take this to Egypt. They were going to Egypt, sell it to a family, a captain, and he grows up here. And he was very beautiful. He's a symbol of beauty and a symbol of wisdom. Wisdom in his ability to interpret dream, pay attention to the fact that the Bab is doing an act of interpretation, including dreams here by this work. And in any case, then the wife of the captain becomes interested. He refuses, although he loved her and so on, and she accuses him of bad intentions, immoral intentions. He's taken to prison. Then he can interpret the dreams of some of the co-prisoners, one of them who remains alive, finally remembers him because the sovereign of Egypt sees a strange dream and nobody could interpret that. So they bring Joseph and he interprets that, and then he becomes the actual sovereign of Egypt when there was a famine all over these places, and he knew that after 7 years of prosperity there would be 7 years of famine, and so he manages to have enough grain in Egypt. So everywhere else then they have famine, including the place that that his father and his brothers and his community are, and they have no grain. So they come to Egypt, the brothers come to Egypt, and he plays with them, does not, and it's an interesting story. Ultimately, he gives them grain and introduces himself. They go, and now the whole community come back, and they bow down before the sovereign. He was the sovereign now. And at this time he says to his father, that father, this is the meaning, the realization of the dream that I saw. The Bab takes this as multiple levels of meaning. So within each surah and so on, there are lots of different types of interpretations going on. But there is one act of interpretation which is continuous. The Joseph, who is playing with his brothers, and brothers become jealous and take him and put him into well, becomes Imam Hussein, which means his brothers are the other Imams. Imam Ali, Imam Hassan, all this becomes his brothers. Now it becomes a very curious thing, because the brothers of Joseph were evil guys, you know, they were jealous and envious, wanted to kill him, right? How then the Bab interprets the brothers of Joseph as all these Imams? It's a very... Bab has a very difficult task in his hand. Imagine how he wants to interpret this, that the story becomes coherent, and yet all these mystical meanings are discussed, but in a coherent fashion, that the Imams do not become evil figures. In any case, the caravanserai goes And passes that becomes Sheikh Ahmad and Sayyid Qazim. That they want water from this and they take this and they go to Egypt. Now this becomes the realization of Hussein, coming back of Hussein from the well as the Bab. Bab is born now, which is that Hussein, which is now born. And he grows up and he becomes sovereign. And ultimately, the brothers, the father and son, have to come back to Egypt as well. Their coming back takes the form of the letters of the living. The first who recognize the Bab, they are the ones who now have returned. Just as Hussein went returned, now they also return. But without discussing the details of this supreme act of interpretation, I share with you the most difficult part, namely how the Joseph can become Hussein and his brothers can go and take him to the sent him, throw him into the dark well. The brothers being the imams, which are all innocent and sinless, infallible. That's the way in Babi religion it is understood. Now this is what he says. And only I share this part of interpretation. To see the creativity of the Bab. One thing which is just absolutely the case with regard to all the writings of the Bab is the amazing creativity of the Bab. It's just amazingly creative. This is just one example of that. What the Bab says is that during the time of Islam, during the time of Imams and Hussein, humanity was not yet capable of understanding the truth of religion. The truth of religion is this moment of absolute divine unity, which is the truth of all his interpretations, which for him is the truth of all religions. In everything you see nothing but the image of God. But the people were not ready for understanding such a high degree of mystical spiritual truth. In other words, they did not and could not understand God at the level of absolute unity of God, when there is no determination, attributes, or anything, and it becomes ultimate truth and reality, or ahadiyat. They couldn't connect with that. But they could understand some symbolic expression of that in the form of wahidiyat. God would be understood as an entity who has these particular characteristics and is omniscient, is this, is that, and is like human being, really. It's not God as God. And then this God is very different from everything else and is not really connected to them. And so that's the level below that mystical understanding. People in the age of Islam, they were not ready for understanding religious truth and religion in those ways. Hussein for the Bab represents, is the symbol, is not the question of the historical Imam Hussein, is the meaning that Hussein has for the Bab. Hussein for the Bab represents the station of ahadiyat, absolute oneness, absolute unity of God. That level of becoming one with God. The moment of martyrdom. And martyrdom for him means annihilation in God. Reaching that station of unity with God in which nothing is seen but God. Hussein represents for him in all his writings that. And the reason that in his dreams he also drinks from the blood drops of Hussein is because of this symbolic meaning of Hussein for him. Hussein has a unique station for the Bab. Hussein is a symbol of that truth of religion which could not be shared and understood in the age of Islam. Now this is it. The Imams, they all know this spiritual truth. But they are aware that people are not ready for this. What they do therefore is they take the truth of Islam represented by Hussein, by Joseph, and hide him in the well of absolute divine unity, in the well of Ahadiyat, that dark, dark, dark well of infinity, where you can't see anything, which is pure unity, darkness and the color black, in the writings of the Bab, has the highest mystical significance, because it's the moment in which it represents the essence of absolute unity of God. Everything becomes one and you cannot understand anything. You don't see anything. That depth of the dark, 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 infinite well is the truth of religion, is where nothing is seen except God. All are one and the same. And the Hussein, which represents that truth of all religions, the truth of Islam, which people could not understand. Therefore, the Imams hide Hussein and keep Hussein as a secret of Islam, as a secret of religious truth within that well of Ahadiyat, to be discovered in the future when humanity becomes ready. The mediating factor for this, of course, becomes Sayyid Kazem and Sheikh Ahmad, who prepare the world of Islam and Shiism for some higher understanding of religious truth. Then the Bab is born, and the Bab becomes the sovereign, and his declaration and so on becomes realization of the truth of Islam, of that mystical unity, of that very principle of interpretation that he's talking about. And now the Imams also come back and recognize that and become part of that, but this time they come back as the letters of the living and Tahiri and so on. Here history becomes a diversity of events. It becomes progressive revelation. But the progression in which the truth is one and the same, it's the same Joseph who is appearing in different forms, in different shapes. But at the same time, it is a progressive history. Namely, the spiritual kernel of truth is being unveiled in gradual fashions. See how the Bab did this. Imagine the idea of these cruel brothers, jealous, envious brothers who try to kill their younger son and so on, turn into imams, and the well becomes the well of Ahadiyat, the realm of absolute oneness, unity of God. And it is the truth of themselves and the truth of Islam that they could not divulge for anybody because it was not, people were not ready. Keep him there, and he appears as the Bab. It's the birth of the Bab. That's why when he talks about coming to Egypt, the parts of the story of Joseph, which talks about now coming to Egypt, the Bab reveals Suratul Qiraba, the chapter of kinship. He talks about who is his father, who is his mother. He's talking about his birth as a new fashion, that he is the continuation of Abraham. And he says there are signs in these names for those who can understand. Namely, he's saying that the fact that Fatima becomes the name of his mother represents the fact that he is Hussein. And the fact that grandmother and grandfather and so on becomes Abraham becomes, for instance, the name of the, if I remember, grandfather, I'm not sure, one of the figures that he mentions, is a symbol that he is Joseph, that both Joseph and Hussein become embodied in his life and so on. These are forms of interpretations and logic of interpretation. My last word for tonight. If you pay attention to this pattern of interpretation that he is discussing and engaging in the commentary on the Surah of Joseph, you see something absolutely unbelievable. Because he's saying that the meaning of the text is the realization of the Bab and conversion of the letters of the living to his faith. But that meaning is being created by that very act of interpretation by the Bab. It's not a meaning which is there, and now he discusses that. It was through writing commentary on the Surah of Joseph by the Bab that the letters of the living came into existence and they accepted the Bab. So the meaning of the text of the Quran is something, a meaning is being created through act of interpretation. The act of interpretation of the text is creating that meaning of the text. In other words, like the concept of zikr that I shared with you last time, the Bab becomes a text and becomes the act of interpretation and becomes the self-description of God. That self-description of God is the moment of divine revelation upon everything, which is the truth of all things. You are in a realm of absolute unity. All differentiations, separations ceases to exist. Text, its meaning, the interpreter, the author, it's like that river, that the bed of the river is made out of water. The ark moving upon it is made out of water. And these are not scattered or unrelated or random ideas in the writings of the Bab. When you read everything he has written, these same ideas and principles, again and again in new forms and shapes, but the same fundamental spiritual truth are manifesting themselves. Next session, I'll deal a little bit about philosophical writings of the Bab and more emphasize his legislative writings. But again, I'll show and discuss that one common underlying principle that he's sharing with us through all these things. And you see more clearly the coherence and interconnectedness of everything that he has written for us.